If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And before we get started, there are a couple of announcements that I'd like to bring attention to. One is the congregational meeting today will be right after service, and the purpose of the meeting is to vote on Pastor Walt to be our permanent pastor. Then secondly, there will be another congregational meeting next Sunday, and the purpose for that will be to present the budget that the session has approved, and also to vote on retaining some deacons and elders. And after the congregational meeting today, there will be a short chat and sip downstairs if you want to come down and participate. Also, due to Thanksgiving next week, or this week coming up, there will be no Wednesday night service on the 25th, Wednesday night the 25th. So, and Kathy Matheson, I think, has got a couple of announcements.
I just wanted to let you know that Shirley Bell sent a obituary for Jim, and it's down on the bulletin board in the hall there. Also, Lucy Bostwick sent a Thanksgiving card to the congregation, and it's posted down there as well. And then, were you going to mention the VRQ? Okay.
Also, as most of you know, we every other month go out to the VRQ out in Swannanoa and do a meal for the veterans, and our time is coming up the first Saturday of this December. I mean, the second Saturday of December, not the first. But if you'd like to participate in helping that, see either myself, Kathy Matheson, or Kathy Pendlin. Any other announcements? If not, take your bulletin. Let's do the unison reading. It's printed on the inside of the cover.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
I Thanks, ladies. That was lovely. Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Please stand and we'll sing this together. Give thanks.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you just praising you and giving thanks for the privilege of being one of your children. We ask, Lord, that your presence be with us during this time of worship. Help each of us, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds and draw closer to you. Forgive us of our sins. Be with those who can't be here for whatever reason, Lord, and just let them know that your arms of comfort are with them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn to your hymnal to number 436. A group of Thanksgiving hymns this morning, and we'll start with this one, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
Oh, winter storms begin.
Please be seated. If you would take your bulletin, let's do the shorter catechism, or larger catechism, question one and two this morning. Question one reads,
what is the chief and highest end of man?
Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever.
How does it appear that there is a God?
The very light of nature in man and the works of God declare plainly that there is a God, but His word and spirit only do sufficiently and effectually reveal Him to men for their salvation.
Now in your hymnal number 433. Now thank we all our God.
As we come to our portion of the tithes and givings, I'd like to read Luke 6, verse 38, and it reads, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put on your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings to your storehouse. We ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver. Help us as a church, Lord, to use these gifts wisely and to further your kingdom, here both locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I know all weeks are special, but this week is especially special because this is the week when we remember to give thanks to Almighty God for all that he's done for us and all that he continues to do. We want to remember those special needs here in our congregation for those people who are going through difficult times or hard times, and our prayers are certainly with them. So let's bow as we come before the Lord in prayer. Let's bow and pray. Our gracious Father, we do remember to praise you and to thank you for all that you've done. That, Lord, you are such a wondrous God. You're such an almighty and sovereign God, and we praise you for this and thank you that you have shown yourself to be faithful in all things. Father, we ask that now, even though our hearts may be heavy for one reason or another, that your Spirit would be here to lift us up and to give us hope, to give us strength to move forward. We pray, Father, this morning for our nation, for the United States of America. And Lord, we recognize that we are a nation divided and that a house divided cannot stand. So Lord, we call upon you to heal us as a nation. Lord, you tell us that if we call upon you, that you will heal our land. So Lord, we ask and pray this morning that you'll do that, that you'll send a revival to this country, a great awakening once again, to bring us back to your feet, to surrender ourselves to you once again, not just as people, but as a nation. And Father, we ask this morning that as your Spirit goes forward into this land, that Lord, there would be many who are in churches and pulpits today who would proclaim your name and proclaim the goodness of our God. We remember to thank you, Lord. We don't want to be as those who neglect you or those who forget about all that you've done for us. But Father, we praise you and thank you. I pray for this week coming up that, Lord, as we gather to celebrate this day of Thanksgiving, that your Holy Spirit would be there to remind us of all that you've provided, that you are truly the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And so, Lord, we do bring you our thanks. Lord, we pray for this, our church, for Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. We pray, Lord, for those who are here this morning, for those who are in their cars listening, for those who listen later over the internet. Father, we pray and ask that your Spirit would touch each one of us and draw us closer to you as we surrender ourselves into your hands. Father, I do pray for those who are struggling this morning with physical issues. And Lord, we do pray that your hand would reach out as the healer, as our great physician, and that you would heal and bring back to wholeness those who are suffering this day. Lord, for those who are suffering from grief, from emotional difficulties, from sorrow, Lord, we pray that even though there may be sorrow at night, that there's a shout of joy in the morning as we recognize that our God is with us. Father, we do pray for those special needs that are here in our bulletin. We pray for our missionaries this week, for John and Elizabeth Sexton with Mission to the World Disaster Response. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would give them special insight into the way that they can meet the needs of those around, that the name of Jesus Christ might be lifted up. And also for the persecuted church in China, a church that's gone through tremendously difficult times in recent weeks. Oh, Lord, we pray and ask that you would surround them with your Holy Spirit. Protect them. Protect those pastors that have been put in prison. Protect those individuals who have been put to death. Lord, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would be there to protect and also to give victory, that the harder China tries to crack down on Christians and on believers, that your word would spread just all the more. We thank you for your faithfulness in these areas. And Lord, we also pray for the Asheville-Buncombe County Community Christian Ministries. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would encourage them during this time when they're stretched to such a degree, trying to meet all the needs that are around them. Lord, we pray for your victory there, and we pray for provision, that you would help them and encourage them. And Lord, we ask and pray for this day as we worship you, that your Holy Spirit would be here to lift up our hearts to you and to encourage us as we desire to walk according to your path. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 435, another great Thanksgiving time hymn, We Gather Together. Please stand and let's sing this together, number 435.
If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verses 28 to 36. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning with verse 28, hear now the word of God. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. So we have the opportunity this week to give thanks to our Heavenly Father, not just individually, but as a people, as a nation, thanksgiving And I know that we should be thankful in heart every day for all that the Lord does. But, you know, unless we set aside certain days for these things, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, even Christmas, Thanksgiving, if we don't set aside a particular day, we might tend to just forget and just never get around to it. But these are special days, and Thanksgiving has always been a very special time in the hearts of Americans. You realize Thanksgiving is particular only to the United States. There are no other nations that take one day aside to give thanks to God. No other nation has Thanksgiving. You go up to Canada, they don't have a Thanksgiving Day. They celebrate something like that, that they've kind of copied from the United States. But you can go to any other nation, and America is the only nation that celebrates Thanksgiving. And you know, people tend to spend Thanksgiving with their families. In fact, more people are with their families on Thanksgiving than any other day of the year. It's a very much a family time, and it doesn't really matter what governors may say or people from Congress or whatever. People are going to be together on Thanksgiving Day. It's in our DNA as Americans. And you know, Thanksgiving is probably as much about tradition as it is about the giving of thanks. Certainly giving of thanks is what began it all, but many traditions have grown up around Thanksgiving. You know, I want to ask you, what was unique about Thanksgiving in your home as you were growing up? You know, you probably had turkey and probably had certain things that you ate, but what was unique about it? What did you look forward to every year about Thanksgiving? I know that in our home, we had a tradition. I don't really know where my father came up with this, but every Thanksgiving, we would sit down at the table with the big turkey right there in front of us and all the fixings and dressings and everything. And then while the turkey was cooling off, well, we would go around and each person would pray and thank the Lord for what was special to them that year, what they were most thankful for in that year. Now, I have 5 brothers and sisters, so it took a while, but we tried to get through it. Nobody could be very long-winded, but we would think about it before we prayed. And of course, you know, as it started to get closer and closer to me, my brain would be swirling about what can I thank the Lord about? What am I most thankful for? And I remember one year, my younger brother, Don, as we were sitting around the table, he was about 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old. And so as we thanked the Lord for those special things in our hearts, as he was thanking the Lord, he said, "I just want to thank the Lord that in this past year, none of us were stabbed." It kind of gives you an idea about the neighborhood that we grew up in there, but we still tease him about that. So, but you know, things are very different this Thanksgiving, different than they've ever been before. The year 2020 has been a year full of stress for America. You know, we've gone through the impeachment process, we've gone through the COVID-19, all the lockdowns that we faced, and now we're facing this election controversy. And we may look at the whole picture and just say, well, I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving, but I can't help but ask, thankful for what? Thankful for what? You know, the question, why should we be thankful to God in everything? And we have 2 different passages in Scripture that tell us that we should be. First one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. That's the passage that we read first thing this morning. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's a pretty tough thing to do. When we think back about all that we've been through, not just our nation, but us individually, You know, and we hear of people that go through extremely difficult times right now. There's a lot of sadness and a lot of confusion. And we're supposed to thank God for these things? Well, he says giving thanks to God in everything. You know, our thanksgiving and our thankfulness cannot be tied to circumstances. You know, even in bad times, there are things that we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for our health. We can be thankful for salvation, that the Lord has brought us to himself and he's forgiven us of our sin. There are things that we can be thankful for no matter what our circumstances are going to be like. We know that God is faithful no matter what. We know we can be thankful for eternity and the fact that we're going to be spending eternity with him because he promised that we would. There's also Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And Ephesians 5:20 says this. It says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another verse. Giving thanks to God for all things, for everything. Being thankful to him. Now, how in the world are we supposed to do that? Here we are as a nation struggling right now. How can we sit down on Thursday around a table and give thanks to God for everything? You know, it's almost like what James said, James chapter 1, when he said, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. How in the world can we consider what we're going through joyful? How can we give thanks to it? It all has to do with our view of God, of who he is. You know, when Paul said all things, he wasn't including those things that oppose God's will or that are in defiance of God's word. He wasn't saying that we're supposed to give thanks for corruption. He wasn't saying that we're supposed to give thanks for evil. No, we're not. We are not. In fact, he says, don't participate in evil, even expose the evil. That's what we're told to do. What we can give thanks for is the fact that our God is sovereign, that our God knows about it. Nothing takes him by surprise. He sees it all. He knows it all. And he's about the business of working it out. His sovereignty, he allows things to happen, and they may be painful for the moment. How many times this past year have we gone through something and said, God, where are you? Why did you allow this to happen? This hurts so much. And our first thought is to rail against him. I don't like what you're doing, God. I don't like this. But we're told that God, in his mercy, is working all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. He's working all these things together. He's working them together in our own lives. He's working them together in the life of this nation. And everything is going according to his plan. You see, that's encouraging. And that's something that we can give thanks for. Well, what are the benefits? What really are the benefits of being thankful and getting together and thanking God for all this? Well, there are a number of them. But thankfulness always causes us to look for God's purpose. When something happens in our life and we don't understand it, it causes us to search out God's heart, to ask him, Lord, why in the world did this happen? What's going on here? What can I gain from this? I want to be able to consider it joy, and I want to be able to glorify you in this, but to be honest, I don't understand. And this pain is too much. Well, difficult times cause us to doubt God and to doubt his love for us and his purpose for us. Can we really trust him? But when we're able to thank God, not because we understand, but in spite of the fact that we don't understand, it strengthens us. It encourages us. We're able to trust him with all our hearts. And that passage in James says, when we consider it joy, when we reckon it joy, it doesn't mean we feel that joy. It means we're considering it joy. That God's able to use that to build us up and to give us endurance. He strengthens us through that time. We don't have to thank God for the problem. We thank God for the fact that he's there behind it, that he has a purpose that we may not understand, but he's not going to give up on us. Thankfulness also acknowledges our dependence on God. And that is when we go through a time that's difficult and we don't understand it, when we're able to thank God for it, it shows that we depend on him, that we're not trying to be self-sufficient and live our lives according to our will or our desire, but instead we're willing to lay that down and give that to him. You know, Proverbs says that a man makes up his own plans, but it's the Lord who causes the result. It's the Lord who sees it to completion. And we may have certain ideas about what we need to do in our lives or what the United States needs in the life of this country, and we may be very fixed on that, but we don't know what God's purpose is, and we don't know what his plan is. I can tell you this with full assurance, whatever it is, it's the best one. We can improve on God's purpose and God's plan. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's moving everything to that point, working all things together for good. You know, we are independent. People are independent by nature, and we don't like the feeling that we're not in control. Truth of the matter is, we've never been in control. God has always held us in his hand. He's opened up the right doors and he's closed the wrong ones. He's allowed us to make decisions that work against us, but out of that we learn and we grow. And we realize that if I search out the Lord's heart and let him lead me, he will never fail me. I don't have to understand in order to obey. Obedience is a choice. You know, thankfulness also focuses our attention on God rather than on our circumstances. Focuses our attention on the Lord. Do you realize over the last several months how much of our energy, our thought life has been focused on our circumstances around us? Whether it was the impeachment process and how that just filled the news day after day and filled our minds and our hearts with confusion. And then after that, the COVID situation, which still dominates a majority of our actions and thought life. And now the whole thing with the election, yet one more opportunity for us to deny God his rightful place and be so consumed with these things. Well, what happens during all that time to the work of the Lord? What happens to what God wants us to do and wants us to be in this world that's collapsing all around us? Where's God? You know, it's easy to allow the urgent things to replace the important things in our life. There was a little booklet that came out some years ago called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And that's what it says. It seems like our enemy's plan is to constantly throw things that are urgent in front of us so that we'll get our eyes off of those things that are essential, those things that are important for our well-being, for our peace. You know, this isn't anything new. This has been part of the enemy's plan for a long time. In fact, Israel went through this. In biblical times, Israel was away from God. It was rebelling against God. And God, through his prophets, kept trying to get Israel's attention, kept trying to bring them back to him. And Israel refused They continued to worship other gods and continued to walk away from the Lord. Until finally the Lord had to call an end to it, and he gave the prophet Habakkuk a vision and showed him what was about to happen. Habakkuk wasn't the only one. He showed several of his prophets what was going to happen to Israel. But Habakkuk wrote about it, and he saw complete devastation. And as the Lord revealed this to him, said, "I saw and my inward parts trembled because what I saw was so horrific. It was so horrible." And he said this. This is in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. And he said this, "I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound, and rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us." He's giving a picture of what the Lord has shown him is going to take place in Israel. And then he says this, beginning in verse 17, "But though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock will be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes me feel like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." Now, you know, just to go over this, I mean, right now we're hearing news about new and upcoming shortages in our grocery stores, that there's not going to be enough meat, or we're going to run out of toilet paper again, and all these things, all these shortages, you know, you better stock up now. Everybody run out and stock up because these things are going to happen. I want you to hear what Habakkuk was actually saying here. He said, "Though the fig tree should not blossom," well, the figs were a staple of the diet. They were food. And they provided certain minerals that are necessary for the body, vitamin B. And so he said that though there be the fig tree should not blossom, that was all going to be wiped out. Shortage. "Nor fruit will be on the vines." Well, that meant their drink. That's what they would drink was the wine, because the water was so poor and terrible that they would drink fermented wine. "The produce of the olive fail." Well, that was their oil. That was their butter. These were staples in their diet. "And the fields yield no food." That was the bread from their wheat. That was the vegetables that they would eat. "And the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." That meant that there would be no meat. And there would also be no income, no money coming in. See, that's total devastation. We're worried about a couple of items that aren't going to be on the shelves. Well, Israel was looking at total, complete devastation. And so the prophet said, "I saw all this, and my inward parts trembled. My legs gave out, totally wiped me out." But then he said, "Yet, even in all of this, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." In fact, in some translations it says, "I will exult in the Lord," the highest level of joyful expression, exultation. Well, that's certainly not because of circumstances, because everything in Israel was falling apart. But he said, "Yet I will exult in the Lord." Why? Well, because God is always faithful. Even if all these things are taken away from us, God will remain faithful. I know we can't help but ask ourselves the question, well, what's going to happen if this takes place, or if that takes place? And are we going to have enough to eat? Are we going to have an income? Is our whole world going to be turned upside down? I don't know. Maybe it will. But this I have full confidence in, and that is, that God will not leave us and he will not forsake us. Whatever we have to go through, and I know that there are people that are predicting a very difficult time in the weeks ahead, certainly before the end of this year. You know what? God is still on the throne. Jesus is still our Lord. God still provides for his people. God will always be faithful. He will take care of us. Now, if that's not worth giving thanks, I don't know what is. That we can be thankful to a God who loves us that much. And I'll just share this. This is my own personal feeling. But I don't believe that the Lord has taken the United States of America this far to allow us to fall into disgrace. I believe that the Lord will be our victor. He will be our champion. And again, I don't know how he's going to do this. I have no idea. But I know that he will protect and he will provide. And this coming Thursday, I want to give thanks to him. I want to give thanks to him for the great God that he is, for the way that he has provided, for the goodness that he has shown to his people. I'm going to thank God for this congregation. I'm going to thank God for this church. I'm going to thank God that in all things he proves himself to be such a loving and a merciful Heavenly Father. Whatever's happening out there, whatever the circumstances are around us, that's second or third or fourth. But primarily, it is God who is showing his love for his people. And he'll continue to until he grabs us up, gathers us like a chicken gathers her chicks, and takes us to be with him forever in glory. Now that's something we can really be thankful for. I read this yesterday, and I wanted to end with this. This was something that appeared on the internet, and it said this: 2020 has been a stressful year. We've been placed in situations we didn't ask for. We experienced hardships we never imagined, and we've seen things we never thought we would see. But we've learned that God will never leave us. We're only here through his mercy and grace. And I am a believer that he will see us through. You see, that gave me such hope, such encouragement, and I hope it does to you too. This Thanksgiving, let's be grateful and thankful that we serve a God who never fails. By the way, happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are grateful and thankful that you are a God who loves his people, that you are a God who has sheltered us from the storm, that you are a God who has led us as a shepherd leads his sheep. And so we place our faith and our trust in you. We don't know what's ahead. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But Lord, we do know that you will always be there for us, that you will walk by our side as our Lord and as our Savior. And I thank you for each person here, and I pray for your blessing on each family. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And our hymn of response this morning is number 92. We'll sing the first three verses at this point, and then the fourth verse for a benediction response. So please stand and let's sing these first three verses of number 92, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Glory.
Before I give the benediction, let me remind everyone that there will be a brief congregational meeting following our service. Please receive the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.